Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, my name is Dom Goldsmith. I'm in Halos.
This is Arthur from Halos.
And this is Lottie Benedict from Halos.
We've got London. We've got Hype. We'll get back to that. We've got 2014. We've got a first track that was an instant success. We've got a studio project to a band. And yet, it's not that because it's been 12 to 15 years. So it hasn't exactly been overnight.
Rumor has it that we sleep upside down. I don't know. That's a rumor. There you go.
Rumor has it that that we all met on Tinder.
Tinder?
Yeah.
Wait, now, left or right?
I mean, I swipe right for both these two, but yeah.
Separate projects with each other and then one wasted night. And next thing you know, we're sitting here on a lawn.
Well, first up,
don't fix it all, please.
First of all, you said you hadn't done your research, and it's very clear that that was a lie. So I just want to pull you up on that.
No, this is my grocery list.
Well done. Okay, sure.
That's all true. There was one wasted night that brought this together. I think.
So a dozen years from now, when you look back on that wasted night, yeah, will you remember it?
Defined by wasted night as well, I think.
Well, we were pretty wasted. Dom and I were pretty wasted, and
I suppose the thing is, it's only wasted in one sense because
wasted is a double entendre because it wasn't a waste.
There was so much gained from that wasted evening that you know it's
the only productive
wasted evening. That's what we'll look back on. We'll look back 15 years. We'll say, oh, that was a productive wasted evening.
I think that the whole of Halos was formed on wasted brain cells. You know what I mean? Like, the thing is, right, is you just got to clear a few of them out of the way. You've got far too many to make music. You know what I mean? You just need to make it a bit more simple.
We live in this world of amazing hype where one track can get out there and then you have to live up to that one track, right? And this is the three of you are in a position where you had exactly that happen. One track blows up.
So I suppose for us, all that was when we had the reaction we had to Dust, it was just a case of that was opening a doorway for us.
Yes.
And for us, we were just all about getting our heads down and working hard, because at the end of the day, we are privileged to be making music and we just want to do that. So we just put our heads down and we just try and do our thing, and hopefully we can bring a few people along with us, and if not, then hopefully we just get to do this for as long as possible.
The thing is with that track is that we put it up and we didn't really expect all that much, and we were actually quite deep in the like writing process, and it kind of ended up being like slightly like distracting, you know what I mean, like getting all those emails and like, you know, all the attention that we did, because we were just kind of really into writing music at that particular moment in time. You know, it was just like that's all we really wanted to do and all we kind of cared about. So like, yeah, grateful for the,
I think the key is to try not to get caught up in that hype. And obviously when it comes, it's great and it helps you and it can get you, you know, it can get you shows and it can get you to the next level. But as musicians and as writers and as humans, you've got to focus on what you love and not get too caught up in that. Because if you do get caught up in that, then you've lost it anyway, because you're never going, you know, it's all about enjoying what you're doing, and whatever you put out, as long as you love it, you just got to be confident in that, and there's nothing, you know, if you love something and you put it out, then there's nothing that can throw you back, because you made something that you enjoy.
And our mantra at the moment is like creativity over ambition, because I think the ambition like is like a net, like it's kind of, you emerge out of one set of clouds and see a whole other mountain on the other side of it, and like I think the thing that we can control is like the art that we make, you know what I mean? That's it.
It's very easy to get caught up in radio, right? And get very, very lost in that as musicians. And once you do have a bit of hype and then chasing this radio hit and this, you know, and you can't, you know, for us, I think we're very, you know, and we're trying to, you know, we're staying strong in that. We're making music for us. We're making music that makes us feel right in the room and sane in the room in that moment. And if that becomes a huge hit somewhere, then fantastic. If it doesn't, become a radio hit, but people, we come to festivals like this and people are in the crowd and they're, you know, zoning out in the same way that we are feeling the music, then we've, you know, for us, that's the main goal, for sure. You can't chase radio, like.
So, you know, when you read a lot of press and quotes are taken out of context, it's really fun. So I'm gonna go down one road, strong creative side, strong destructive side. My gosh, you guys are the darkest people I've ever met. You are so dark. You just look like you're the most depressed human being. You're sugar-coated in your candy, and on the inside, it's where all the dark, gooey, yucky stuff is. And we all love that. We love Twin Peaks. We love dark stuff, right? But it's also about the art. So I kind of want to fix this destructive side thing, because it seems like people love taking that about this band and saying, well, not only are they a synth band, but they're the darkest synth band since blank, 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 right? So let's go down the road musically and kind of help it out a little bit.
I think first of all, like, to be like a rounded artist, you've got to have knowledge of both good and bad, right? You know what I mean? You can't just like pretend to be good and like and just avoid your feelings and stuff like that. I think we set out to make a record that's just honest, you know what I mean? Like that fundamentally, like bottom line, the fact that it came out dark was, you know, probably because we were like being more honest and true to ourselves, you know what I mean? And actually in the record there's loads of hope and loads of light as well. And I think it's all about, you know, human sort of, you know, like, you know, we suffer, you know, we chase after things, we want things, you know, we're disappointed and whatever, and you know, we fall in love, we fall out of love, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that music has a responsibility to represent that, right? And if we're being honest to ourselves in the room, like, then we're expressing that, right? And I think for it to come out as like kind of dark, like, you know, whatever, cool, we dress all in black, like, big deal, you know what I mean? Like it's like half, because, and I think the thing is, it's all about balance, right?
I wore the black jeans for you today.
Good, thanks. Good. That, thanks. For you got the memo, right? You got the memo. Like, I think that it's all about knowledge, right? The more knowledge you have, the more you're aware of both good and bad, and the more you have an opportunity to sort of transcend both of them and find that balance, which is what we're always looking for. That tension, the kind of middle point between the two like polar opposites. And I think creative and destructive, again, they're just two like kind of opposite forces that drive all of us, you know, like in order to build something you've got to destroy it as well. And
and I think we were quite, you know, writing the record, you know, the moments that were potentially, you know, the darkest lyric would sometimes be matched with a really euphoric sort of,
well, that's my favorite thing in the world is the, again, the lyrics that when you really listen to them, when you're hearing the happiest song in the world and then you listen to the lyrics, you're like, I'm so happy I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, exactly. And it's about matching those two and finding that middle ground.
No. Not yet exactly you're going to kill yourself. I just want to pull up on that. You don't have to. It's the thing is, I suppose for us, the most interesting part of life is its dichotomy. It's the fact it's never really one thing. We try to offset, you know, the lighter lyrics with maybe slightly darker sounding soundscapes, and the really, you know, more painful lyrics with a kind of light euphoric music. So, you know, the dichotomy should always be there, like both in the lyrics and the relationships to the music.
So I say this a lot to bands that are in some ways electronic in nature. Notice I didn't make you an electronic artist, or the decision to use a sampler to keep the sounds intact.
Yeah, I mean, we did, and you know, we wanted to make it as live as we possibly could, and I think we've got three, Daniel, Martin and Beau, who play live with us, are hugely important to the set. And of course there's an element of sampling, and you have to have, you know, we not every single piece could be played.
But you go as far as to hide certain logos too, don't you?
I mean, at the end of the day, as Lossie was saying, like, you can't, like the SH-101 produced all of the bass on, for example, if you breathe it the wrong way, it'll go out of tune. And, you know, synthesizers that are voltage controlled, that is, you know, going back to the real, you know, I've got a Prophet 6 in my setup, which is great, but the filters are very clean. And like, the Juno that I play with on stage as well, which is from 1981, is really, you know, it's so much more warmth to the middle range. And so, you know, that's the thing. We try and, you know, make honest music with honest instruments and keep it as real as possible. You know, there's always an element of robotic participation, but that's cool. That's us living in a JG Ballard book, you know.
You've been at this a while, and now you're on a pretty groovy label. Good place to be, but there's always some story about how you got there, or the people that came and say, "Hey, listen, the A&R guys, right?" So is there a good story there, or is there no good story? I know there's got to be one.
So basically, like, we, Matador showed a really sort of strong interest in us, and they flew us out to New York to meet them, which our manager said hadn't happened since the late 80s to any band. And we sort of turned up. We went for a nice meal with them in New York, and Yoko Ono walked in halfway through, which is a good omen. And she sat down, although who knows, that might prove to be a bad omen later on down the line. But anyway, so then we went out. We went to the Beggars Christmas party with all the people from Matador. I at that point decided it was probably a good idea to go home, considering the fact that I don't drink. So then I go to bed. I get up in the morning, go for a run with our manager, like, you know, just cross the Brooklyn Bridge and back and whatever. Get home, spend the whole day just alone. Eventually, sort of 5 PM, I get a phone call from Dom and Lottie, who had been taken out by our label and had been taken out for the whole of the next day by our label, and did actually end up maybe in bed with our label, possibly, by the end of the year.
I am appalled.
So
nothing saucy. They were just
comparing colors of sheets.
Me and Dom, we know our first time in New York, and we had the most amazing night, and we bonded. We bonded with our crew and our label and everything, and yeah, it was a very cool night, and it was a very cool city, and we were just living it up and making the most of it.
It's Sonic Youth all the way through. There's so many bands on this label with us that we've joined. There's so much history. And we're fans of, you know, so many, you know. So it's, you know, we're really chuffed to be with Matador, and we love them. Hopefully they continue to love us, and, you know.
And you already have a second album pretty well along, do you not?
We're going to go with another rumor. Maybe we're not making another album. Maybe.
I heard it's a rap record.
Maybe we're being employed to make a feature film.
Yo, yo.
Making a grime record.
Yo, yo. Yeah, yo yo Halo's raps.
We could have actually been, hired to write a soundtrack for a very large feature film. You never know. That could be
the
next project.
That could be.
We were considering doing another record, but like it didn't swipe us on Tinder. So like I think actually like
it all comes back to swiping.
We swipe right. Is it right? Yeah, anyway. We decided to try and match with our next record. And, you know, we're seeing if it will come up on a different dating app. But if it doesn't, then, you know, we're going to be stuck here searching for, a new mate.
Okay, so while we've got the game show of swiping left or swiping right, I'll give you your choice. We can talk about Bristol in the 90s, or we can talk about the Zen diagram of taste. Which one would you like to do?
Taste.
Would you like to do the Zen? So for 20 pounds, we've got the Zen diagram of taste.
It's a Venn diagram.
It's the Venn or the Zen?
No, he knows. Ah, see, my bandmates here didn't think that you knew, but I know that you know. I know. So anyway, the Zen diagram some would say it was a slip of a tongue by me, but others would say, wow, what a genius play on words, Dom. Really well done, buddy. That's really cool. So I like to go with the latter.
I think so too. Bristol in the 90s. Come on, Kid A, Portishead, Massive Attack. We're not talking, it's not a... Right, I know.
You've got such a good level of like.
Trying to bend all this.
You've got such a good level of knowledge that I think we're going to follow you like a guru now.
I'm trying to mend all this stuff.
If you started a cult this second, you'd have 3 members immediately.
Yeah, we're drinking the Kool-Aid right now.
Let's go. But all kidding aside, it ain't about influences. Bristol wasn't about that. It's about the scene, it's about the attitude, it's about the sounds, right?
It's about the sounds and the feeling and the emotion. And I think for all of us, that's what we connected with that music, you know? And, as teenagers, that was, for me anyway, having, you know, heard, I, you know, my family wasn't that musical in my house, and, you know, and so I was, you know, I grew up on a lot of just commercial, what was on the radio, and then I finally discovered bands like Portishead and Massive Attack, and it blew my mind. And it was the first time that really I felt so connected and emotionally connected to something. And That's.
Yeah. I think the other thing is about that all of those bands, they just drew on this multi-genre sort of music. It doesn't have
exactly.
It doesn't have one influence, and I think the same thing applies for Halos. Is like, you know, everyone seems to bring that up in interviews as like the thing that, you know. And actually, to be honest, all we did was combine like all of our things that we were into, and it kind of came out a little bit like it does. It did. So yeah,
people,
you know,
spend so much time trying to. This is my term, genre-lize. Yeah. You know,
it's also you know, the disciplines that were employed by the artists in the Bristol scene in the 90s. You know, it's turntablism, it's sampling, it's also live based, and it's like making beats but also developing those beats into live moments. And so for us, that's just you know, that's very much the way we enjoy working as well, that mixture of live music and electronic, which is so innately human.
Well, you know, it was all so well produced. But it was like you're saying, they weren't afraid to take a fader and go, you know what, we're just gonna pump that up.
I'm saying it is about the production and stuff. Yes. And like that's always you know, that's,
and I think what it comes back to, what the point you're trying to make is
what is the point?
I think it is. It's because in music there seems to be two distinct halves to music. There's entertainment and there's art. You know what I mean? And actually, like, the kind of capitalist system that we operate in really likes things to be packaged for people to pick off a shelf and buy, right? And actually, I think that, like, if you look back at all art forms, they all just are, like, directly lead on from the last thing. You have to react or be inspired by, or... So either you're pushing against what came before, or you're returning to something, you're making a new connection with the past and taking it into the present. And all art does that, you know what I mean? Like, and actually, like... That
you have to come from somewhere.
Comes back, we're actually combining lots of different points here. It comes back to creativity versus ambition, which we mentioned earlier on. And then it comes back to the polar opposites, the tension, the light and the dark, you know what I mean? And actually, like, trying to find that balance between the two, you know what I mean? Like, I think that there's a thing of us, we really want to reach people. We want to, like, you know, when you're in a room and you're playing live, there's like so much love, you know what I mean? Like, all the boundaries come down, everyone's together, they're in the moment, you know what I mean? But also, we need to try, in order to achieve that, we have to actually make things that connect with people, you know what I mean?
Don't do that.
Well, you have to in some way, and the thing is...
We have to let down our guards. We've talked about it a lot within this project, and we've all come from being the front, you know, the lead singers of previous projects.
Yes.
Or the front person of previous projects. And I think for this, we came together and initially, you know, there were struggles, but actually what we've come out of it is letting go of ego and all of us just sort of coming together and actually working together and making something that you know, sits as a unit and sits as a collaboration.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside as the bread. And then you get to pick songs by anybody in between.